It's 8 minutes past 11. I'm Lois Reitzes, so glad to be here with you. The Vega Quartet has been heralded for its intoxicating playing, and the group has toured extensively across the world to major cities, venues, and festivals. They're also educators, and this season marks the Vega's 10th. As Emory University's Quartet in Residence. That's just one of the news items we'll be highlighting today with the Vega Quartet. In studio, we have violist Yinzi Kong, the first violinist and new member Elizabeth Fayette, and pianist Will Ransom. He's the director of the Emory Chamber Music Society of Atlanta, also a pianist, and faculty member who will be playing with the quartet this season. All of you, welcome to City Lights.
Thank you, Lois.
Great to have you here, especially on Will's birthday.
Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday, Will. And I must say that the program you have coming up Sunday afternoon seems like quite a gift itself. We'll get to those specifics later. But first, we're hoping you could talk about the responsibilities of the Vega Quartet as quartet in residence.
We've been here for 10 years. So we really like this position being a quartet in residence at Emory, because not only we can continue our passion of loving chamber music through performance, but also educate our next generation of music lovers at Emory. So our duty at Emory includes, of course, the performance and also teach sectionals, coaching chamber music and chamber music groups. And the most unique, exciting part is to bring our group into academic classrooms to relate music to the subject of the day, find a common ground, and explore why music is a kind of language beyond any boundaries.
So what classes have you crashed, if you will?
We've done quite extensive classes, physics, psychology, religion, language, politics, of course, more musical related like dance or composition. Whenever a professor approaches us and think there might be something that we can do together, and we're excited for that opportunity.
It's wonderful to hear that there is now a greater emphasis on collaborative learning, and that the arts complement the sciences and the humanities. We're all connected, and it's all very organic. The quartet, here's the big exciting news. Well, one part of the big exciting news, the quartet is now permanently endowed. What does that mean, Will?
Well, this has been a long voyage. You know, this is the 24th season of the Chamber Music Society, and as most organizations like this do, it's been through quite a transformation of purpose and of members and of people who support it as well. And I got to a point where I realized that having a string quartet in residence, truly in residence, not just for a day or two, as some people call a residency these days, but really on campus, in the community, was something that would allow us to spread this great art all over the place and in a completely different way than had been done before. And Emory's really the perfect place to do that, because since we're not a conservatory or a school of music, what we're focused on is developing, as Inzi said, new generations of these wonderful, brilliant young students who aren't going into music professionally, so they don't really train them as professional performers like you would at a conservatory, but they take their music to them and get them excited about this what I think is the greatest art of all, this great music. And it's really, it's creating a whole new generation of these wonderfully educated and ending up passionate music lovers who come to the concerts and get excited about it. And it's just been tremendous. So, of course, as with any organization, you have to figure out how you're going to fund it.
Yep.
We hear a lot about orchestras having trouble and every few years having to undergo big fund drives, et cetera, et cetera. This was a brand new program, and it started as it was funded on a 3-year pilot program by Cherry Emerson. And music lovers in Atlanta will know that name because he was such a huge supporter of pretty much everything you can think of musically in Atlanta. And he got us started with this program to fund it. And after that 3-year period, we were raising funds annually to support the residency. And the Abraham J. and Phyllis Katz Foundation came along. They were new in Atlanta or starting to do new funding in Atlanta and found out about us and were incredibly, wonderfully generous for several years and made the residency continue. And then I guess about 4 or 5 years ago, they agreed to make a $1 million matching challenge grant to us that if we were able to raise the matching million, they would add their million to it, and this would allow us to have the base funding for this Quartet in Residence program forever. And we're thrilled, couldn't be more thrilled to announce. I'm particularly thrilled because I don't have to beg for money anymore.
Oh, yes, you will.
Well, yeah, I know, never
all
say never.
All your life as a musician, but for now.
Yeah. For now, we're there, and we are publicly announcing and celebrating it on this Sunday at the Beethoven 7th concert in Emerson Hall at the Schwartz Center at Emory.
Fantastic. Well, the other big news is that the Vega has a new first violinist, and Elizabeth Fayette, welcome.
Thank you so much. Very happy to be here in the studio, but also thrilled to be spending my time here in Atlanta.
Yeah, well, tell us, what led you to the Vega?
Well, as you probably know, the music world is a very small one. And while I had known of the Vega Quartet for many years, I had never met any of the members. However, we have many mutual friends. And when the Vega Quartet knew that they were about to embark on a search for a new first violinist, a mutual friend put my name forward. And the quartet reached out and asked if this would be something I would be interested in pursuing. Now, my friend knew that I was at kind of a crossroads in my own life. I finished school a year ago, and this past year I finished a fellowship program in New York. So it was time to take the next step into my full life.
And here you are.
And here I am.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. How did you audition?
Well, it was a multi-layered audition because, as you heard, the duties of the Quartet in Residence, of the Vega Quartet here at Emory, and also outside of Emory, are very multifaceted. So when I auditioned, it was with an eye towards all the different roles that I would need to encompass, not just as a performer, but also as an educator on a personal level, in one-on-one lessons and coaching. And then on a broader academic level as I move with the quartet into different academia settings. So the audition, first I sent, of course, the bare bones of any interview resume to the quartet so they could see what my background was like. And then some things unique to a music audition, I sent some videos of my playing, especially in chamber music performance. And I sent a repertoire list so they could see where my chamber music interests over the last 10 years had taken me, and they could see what the breadth of my experience was in the repertoire. After that, after taking a look, they invited me to come down for a week and spend some time with them. Quartet is very intimate, not just because of the relationship we share with an audience, but also because the four of us just spend a lot of time in a room together. So better to know earlier rather than later how we all function. So the week was meant as a sort of microcosm of what our time together might be. When I was here, we rehearsed every day and gave a small concert at the end of the week, but I also gave an informal concert with the quartet at the law school at Emory. We visited a class, I believe it was a medical anthropology class, where we talked about possible medical ailments in Beethoven and Schubert and how that might be extrapolated out to their music.
Fascinating.
And they saw me teach both chamber music and one-on-one lessons so they could get a sense of what I was like as a teacher. And then, of course, they were seeing other candidates, so we waited for a while. But I'm so thrilled that they asked me to come and join them, and I basically just picked up and moved.
Well, that sounds like a rigorous and multifaceted audition. Talking with Elizabeth Fayette, the latest member, the newest member, the new first violinist for the Vega Quartet. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to City Lights on WABE Atlanta.
Support for WABE comes from the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, presenting opening weekend with Garrick Olson Thursday, September 22nd and Saturday, September 24th at 8 in Atlanta Symphony Hall. Tickets at atlantasymphony.org. Classical series presented by Delta Airlines.
The presidential candidates say they could do a better job caring for America's veterans.
I've been very close to the vets.
Necessity for doing whatever is required to move the VA into the 21st century.
I have a very, very powerful plan.
I'm Kelly McEvers. What a President Clinton or President Trump would do to help vets. Later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us for All Things Considered News with Amy Kiley weekdays beginning at 4 p.m. on 90.1 and WABE.org. This is City Lights. I'm Lois Reitzes here with you, members of the Vega Quartet and pianist Will Ransom. So this Sunday's program, Will, you mentioned Beethoven 7th. I remember a Seinfeld episode where they wanted to name a baby Seven. Seven. What is it with the number seven?
Well, I think it's appropriate for the Vega because it has a very special meaning in Chinese, apparently, as
Do
well.
Tell.
I just told him.
Oh, and tell us?
Well, in Chinese, seven has the same pronunciation as eat. And, you know, food is a culture for us. In Beethoven and in gourmet food, we trust. So this concert is also the when we will have the announcement of the permanent quartet in residence is realized. So from now on, we will have food on the table to eat without too much worry.
I see. All right. And see, does this mean that the concert goers also have dim sum, going up and down the aisles?
I know there will be a really good reception during the intermission. But no, that was just kidding.
The seventh, you have the seven figuring prominently in these selections.
Exactly. I think, was it a year or two ago, I put a program together called Beethoven's Fifth, where we had the fifth cello sonata, the fifth violin sonata, which is the spring sonata, and then the fifth symphony for piano four hands. And it was such a hit, so much fun for the audience, so much fun for the musicians, that I thought, hey, you know what? How about the seventh symphony as well? So this time we're going with the seventh violin sonata, with featuring Elizabeth. As her welcome to the community as well. And then
so
the seventh.
Welcome. Now play.
And if you play it well, they'll feed you.
That's right.
Bribery works every time.
Then we'll have the seventh string quartet, appropriately featuring the Vega as we celebrate this milestone. And the second half, Elizabeth Pridgen, brilliant pianist who's now the artistic director of the Atlanta Chamber Players, will join me for the piano four hands version of the Beethoven Seventh Symphony.
Okay, this is not something people are accustomed to hearing, an entire symphony for two pianos. But when we think back on electronics, the absence of them in the 19th century. This is how people who couldn't attend a concert would experience a symphony.
That's exactly right. And back before electronics, before recordings, radio, television, anything like that, the home entertainment system was an upright piano. And it was the heyday of upright piano sales as well. Just millions and millions were sold. Every home had an upright piano, and somebody could play it at least a little bit. And you're absolutely right. The way that people got to know this great music was to read through it, either for solo arrangements or for piano four hands. Makes it easier and much more fun as well. So those arrangements still exist. They've kind of fallen out of style because there's no real need for it.
Well, let's also say there aren't all that many pianists the caliber of yourself and Elizabeth Pridgen who can, you know, sit down and play that at home.
Well, thanks. What's great fun for us is that we all think, oh, I know Beethoven Fifth, I know Beethoven Seventh Symphony, but this allows you to hear the music in an entirely new way. It's almost, I call it, listening to a blueprint of the music, because you hear sort of the skeleton of it in black and white. And it opens your ears in a whole new way. And of course, as pianists, we don't get to play this great repertoire. So what a great chance for us to,
you know, to be play. Honest, the first time before Will said he's going to program the Fifth Symphony with piano four hands, as a string player myself, like, yeah, whatever.
You're not
How can you really, you know, honor that symphony?
You're
going to
murder that score.
Yeah. A string player, you know. But then I was sitting in that concert, and I really heard the greatness of Beethoven so clearly. It's just so, as he said, bare-boned. And you realize, you know, we always see the flash of Beethoven's music. We think it's so great. It's great all the way into the depth, into the bones. I was on the edge of the seat the whole time. So I'm really looking forward to hearing this seventh as well.
And also thinking about the fact that we hear the expression getting inside someone's head. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how composers wrote symphonies then, in fact. Pretty much up to the present, thinking, I mean, conceiving at the piano and hearing the instruments. So there is something special that way. I would like, in just the couple minutes we have left, I'd like to talk about the wild, wonderful success of classical music in China. Inzi, you and other members of the Vega, not Elizabeth, but historically the Vega is a Chinese ensemble. What does it take for classical music to have the rock star status it now has among young people in China? What can we do?
The parents need to whip their children. No, just kidding. No, I think it is the timing. It's everything. All the successful things, all the success is at the end about timing. When I was little, when I started violin, it was just a few years after Cultural Revolution.
Ah.
So the door
after it ended.
After it ended.
Yes.
It's ended in 1976, and I started learning violin in 1978. So the door has just opened to Western culture, and all our last generation, our parents who loved Western music that had never had any opportunities to study it, just give it all to their children. And that's a Chinese thing, you know, you continue your last generation's dreams. So it's a lot of discipline, like it or not. You were forced to lay down the foundation of being a good musician. So half of the kids really fell in love with it. Half of them take off, but just that half becomes the center power for that generation. And then it was regarded, musicians, classical musicians has a very different status in China than here.
Yes.
They are being looked up were admired because it's something foreign, something new, something different than what we always know. And something was being suppressed for so many years and all of a sudden becomes available. So all these elements come into play and made it the Chinese music scene now.
Well, let's hope that some of your many Chinese-born classical superstars can take that infectious, that wonderfully infectious enthusiasm and spread it here as well. Elizabeth Fayette, welcome to Atlanta.
Thank you so much.
Yinzi Hong, thank you so much. Congratulations on the Vegas 10th anniversary.
Thank you.
Will Ransom, always a joy. And now go celebrate your birthday.
Thank you.